This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%. Oh my God. 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Oh my God! Oh my goodness! I'm warming up my vocals because I'm getting ready for this week's challenge. And the challenge is be the only Drag Race podcast that's ever been made. That's right. You're listening to Drag Her, the only podcast that's ever been and ever will be about Drag Race and the time continuum that we call this. And I'm incredibly flattered to be joined by my heavy boobed partner. She's the best person I've ever met. No dispute. I love her so much. And her name is Rachel Bloom.
Hello. It's so great to be here once more with you. I think and talk about Drag Race an unholy amount. There is so much TV I haven't seen. There are so many movies I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. But yet, like, I watch Drag Race, and I know this is obviously the only Drag Race podcast, mm-hmm. but if there was a world where there were other Drag Race podcasts,
yeah,
all I would be doing is listening to them.
Totally.
But again, there's obviously like no other podcast, which I find like, you know, crazy. And like, no one's talking about UK.
Right.
Obviously.
I think it has a lot to do with COVID. I think COVID's to blame, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I think people wanted to start Drag Race podcast. They were like right on the precipice, and then it just disrupted everything. So.
Sorry. I'm just, it, that made me think about, you know, the teaser for, I guess like the, it's UK Drag Race. Sorry, this is a UK. I'm watching.
No, we're doing both. Time.
You know the teaser for UK Drag Race for next week, where it's like something's wrong with Tace's hand,
right?
And a doctor's right. there, and you hear sirens. What if it's okay? What if it's just a red herring, and they just invited a palm reader to come into the workroom?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Like, what's going on with Tace? His lifeline is really It's really small.
Which I think the siren scare, this is a first for Drag Race. Like, the siren scare has been on every episode of Bachelor ever, but I don't know if I've seen Drag Race pull the siren scare yet. So that's...
Wait, I've actually never watched The Bachelor. Are people always dying on that show?
There's always a siren scare. It's always bullshit. Well, it's because they feed them alcohol and nothing else, you know, and they're forced to stand in heels from, you know, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Like, it is a trick. So, like, people, like, get lightheaded, and they just have an on-call, you know, emergency team just to be like, this is going to be great for the teaser, no matter what.
Oh, man. That actually makes me want to watch it more, despite the fact they're actively trying to kill their contestants.
Yeah.
But also, standing around in 12 hours in heels is Drag Race.
That is exactly. So, maybe the scare is real. We'll never know. Aren't we so glad that, I mean, we're going to get to US, but aren't we so happy that we got to see RuPaul scream, I don't want to see any fucking H&M?
You know, I thought it was great. And I have to say, I don't think that was screaming.
No, I just thought it was great. It was just fun.
That says a lot about my childhood, but.
Same.
But
same.
But him just, I thought that was a stern, talking to.
She even was graceful enough to apologize. It was so great. But she was right.
That was great.
Yes. And it's like, if you're gonna wear it, make it look better. And I also love scream. Like, I live in a world of screaming and loudness, so I hear you.
Yeah, I just didn't think that. If I'd been up there, I would have fucking shit my pants. But I don't think that was like, I don't think that was screaming. Oh God, I love UK so much. And this week was Snatch Game.
Oh, I know, which was like a little, only an okay Snatch Game, right?
Yeah, it was only okay. And also I think I only knew one of the references on it. But I think that's a testament to how good Bimini's impression was that
totally.
I had never heard of who she was doing, but I was like, this is a fucking great character.
I knew who she was doing, but I was like, this is excellent. There's solid jokes. It's also if this, then what? You're just heightening into madness with dating a horse. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
You sound like if anyone reads the Drag Race reviews on Vulture, Paul McCallion, I think he's definitely taken some UCB classes.
Oh, great.
The review of, I guess, last week, the title of the review was RuCB 101.
Ha! Huh, that's really funny. I had no, that's funny.
It's pretty great. And actually, I had read his review of When I Judged. Uh-huh. And when I was, you know, comedy splaining a little bit, and he was just like, and I was talking about like in comedy, you always want to surprise the audience. And he wrote something like, yes, queen, heighten, yes, and work.
Explore.
It was just like, oh, he is definitely sunk, I'm gonna guess, at least $1,500 into the UCB training program.
If you haven't, I mean, can you even be a citizen of New York City? I don't know if you're allowed to be. But I live for that. I live for UK, I live for US. I mean, it's, you'd think it's too much, but it's not. I love it.
Again, I'm behind on so many other forms of media. I still haven't seen The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's been on for so long.
Which I think people would be shocked to know.
Oh, that it's completely off brand.
I know.
At first it was because I was like, it came out in the height of Crazy Ex, so I was too busy. And my friend is full on like the art director for Maisel. Mm-hmm. Like there is absolutely no excuse. But I think I came relatively late to Drag Race. And so I used my maternity leave. Basically, every time I breastfed or every time I pumped, I just caught up on Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like I caught up on all of the episodes I didn't know so that I would be a mono level expert. I'm
Thank
still not
you.
There.
Yes. But
I heard your trivia game that you had with Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, so fun and crazy.
That was just.
I love it, but I am ashamed that I know who went home on the seventh episode of like season three, but like I don't really recall who Pol Pot is. Like I'm like, oh yeah. he was a bad man. Yeah, he was a bad man. That's all I know. Anyways, when Raja lip sync against Carmen Carrera, it was great.
You know, we're all just little 12-year-old boys at heart.
Truly.
It's like the equivalent of a 12-year-old being like, do you want to know all the facts about whales that I know? But yeah, it's like, gay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm honestly so happy for the gay youth that they have this. Like, can you imagine if we had this when we were our age? Just like had this weird poster child of success and queerness in popular TV. What?
That would have been so fucking cool. Because for me, look, it would have been cooler for queer people and being a non-queer, mm-hmm. but an ally. Queer, you know, used to be a slur. Mm-hmm. And so I still feel weird saying queer because I feel like I'm going like queer.
Queer?
Yeah. Oh, you're queer.
Hi, queers.
So I've had to like really readjust my thinking. But again, super not my problem. But it would have been really cool because there were all these people that I knew deep down were queer mm-hmm. growing up, but like they didn't.
You just spread up a little.
We're queer growing up. But like it was this unspoken thing. And the mm-hmm. first time I knew someone who came out, well, this is interesting actually, because we're basically the same age. Like, mm-hmm. so the first person I knew who was openly gay was a senior. I was a sophomore in high school and he was a senior mm-hmm. and he came out. This was 2003.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic. I was queering about at that time. I was still, but I was doing really sly queerness. I was doing like queer with my very queer friends. I wasn't like telling everyone yet, you know? It was more like 2004, 2005, where I was like, I came out to my friends and I came out to my family last. I don't know. They're village people and I just didn't want to.
YMCA.
So my cop mom and my indigenous father, they're a great couple. I hear you.
That makes sense.
Some
people on fucking RuPaul's Drag Race haven't come out to their parents.
Oh my God. Totally. But they were the coolest about it. So shout out to cool family.
Anyway, I'd love to talk about like more about like my thoughts on like queerness as a youth who like wasn't queer, but like kind of knew people who were queer. And I think this is like my space to talk about that.
Okay, Anne Hathaway.
I thought she was great.
I thought she was adorable. It's like
she was
like
great.
I literally want to say, like, let's just talk about it now. Like, you can be cynical about her, but also she's adorable. Like, she's adorable and sweet, and it was great. Like, it's such a big deal that she's on the show. Like, it's like I had to take a step back to be like, that's really fucking cool that an Oscar winner came to do this Kiki with the gays.
I don't get the cynicism about Anne Hathaway. I've never quite understood it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because people are like, oh, she's such a theater kid. And I'm like, well, so am I. So mm-hmm. if you dislike Anne Hathaway, you sure as fuck will dislike me because I'm mm-hmm. way more eager and I'm way weirder and I'm certainly not as pretty.
Debatable.
Oh my God. Thank you. That's what I was fishing for. But I've always thought she was great. And then also, Aline, you know, my writing partner, Aline Brosh mm-hmm. McKenna, wrote Devil Wears Prada, spent a lot of time with Anne Hathaway and has just the greatest things to say about her.
I think she's one of those icons who's just so lovely that people find it easy to poke holes. You know what I mean? It's like, you're lovely, you're sweet, you're talented, you're stunned. So maybe let's have some fun batting you around.
Like, it's because she's like clearly wants to please. There's a little bit of the Jan effect, I think, happening where like because she's a theater girl.
Jan Hathaway. Is Anne Hathaway Jan and Jan Hathaway Anne?
How can we make this a Tamisha Amon style high top merch to sell ASAP?
Yeah. We can.
Wait, where the fuck are my Tamisha Amon high tops? Sorry, I ordered them like a month ago.
Yeah, you should have them. I think people are like, I've been watching the gay internet and they have like taking a little longer to get to people. But yeah, you should check in. You should like just text Tamisha your tracking number and she'll be like, I sent what I sent. You're like, okay, I'm sorry.
Did you have that pre-prepared?
No, no, but I have been saying I blanked what I blank like a
lot. That's really, that was, I'm sorry, I sound like your mom or something. Like, did you write that?
Did you write?
So funny.
I
just make that up, Mano. I've never talked to you.
I blanked what I blanked all over the place. So it's really not, it's not that fresh.
I shat what I shat.
I shat what I shat. Okay. Okay. I guess we'll talk about this episode, but I want you to poke anything in because, you know, as you know, we've missed some queens. We had to say goodbye to Tamisha. We had to say goodbye to Lalari. How'd you feel about those goodbyes?
Oh, right. I was sad, but it made sense.
Truly.
I do not feel that anyone has yet been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those exits have made sense. This year has been a year kind of filled with death for me. Mm-hmm. to bring a very real thing in my life mm-hmm. onto a Drag Race podcast. And mm-hmm. so like, I'm like, you know what? Sometimes people got to go. And mm-hmm. that's life. Nothing lasts forever.
That's I think that's a very healthy way to look at it, right? It's like anytime, and that goes to the whole fandom. It's like anytime you just take these tiny little markers of movement in the show forward as like an affront to your life, you're probably taking the show too seriously. And sometimes people go home.
Everyone is going to go home except for four people.
Yeah.
And then totally. Of those four, only one person's going to win unless it's a double win, which I don't think they should or can.
I don't think so. I don't think they should either.
But yeah, it's what I'm trying to say is Drag Race has helped me cope with loss.
Truly. Truly. When we had to say goodbye to both Layla McQueen and Dax exclamation point, I understood. I understood that I might not survive and that's okay.
I suddenly understood Aristotle's allegory of the cave. And I was like, fuck. They should do a lip sync that's one time that's just like a famous mm-hmm. essay or a famous like monologue. That it's all spoken word.
That would be incredible.
They did that with a challenge where they all had to like lip sync to like famous Untucked.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
But it would be great where it's just like, prior to tonight, you were asked to prepare Out Damn Spot.
That
from
would
Act
be
Three
good.
Of Macbeth.
That would be fantastic. That would be really good. Or what about just prior to tonight, you were asked to prepare Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? Because we all know the first two lines are going to be sharp, and then it might fall apart. Okay.
Not to Daniel Day-Lewis saying it, but from The Adventures with Mr. Lincoln attraction at Disneyland.
My fucking God.
Great moments with Mr. Lincoln. I'm so sorry.
You knew that.
We've talked about, you and I both have your long passes to Disneyland, right?
I have had them. I haven't been a constant holder, but now I really regret not being a constant holder because now they're gone.
Well, they're gone for now because no one can go to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. Oh, you know what? When we're back,
uh-huh.
When the world is back,
mm-hmm.
We should record a big old episode at Disneyland.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. We're going to keep all the noises in.
All the noises. I think it should be throughout the day on different rides.
Yeah. And we just talk about what's drag at Disney. Like, is that drag or is that like, is Daisy
oh,
drag?
Oh my fucking God. That's brilliant.
I think Daisy is drag.
Oh, well, like also if we're talking about drag being like an exaggerated version of like gender ideas / ideals,
mm-hmm.
every Disney princess is drag because mm-hmm. those are not women. Those women do not have eyes the size of like a fucking teacup saucer. Like,
which is
women
my
don't
biggest
have
criticism
like
of
that.
You. That is my biggest problem with you.
Oh, of
eyes...
just women of women in general.
Yes. Yes.
If it weren't for that, you would be straight as an arrow.
That is true that all Disney princesses have saucer eyes and noses that can't possibly breathe oxygen. They're just too tiny.
They're fucking drag characters.
Yeah.
So every time you see like a woman dressed up as a Disney princess at Disneyland, she's in drag because she's in an exaggerated version of what gender is.
That is fun. That is fun.
So what we could do is we could walk around Disneyland and like have our own secret like runway, but with the queen, with like the princesses.
Yes. Yeah.
And
let's
like and rate them. Really fun. That's actually a great activity for Gay Days.
It's so great. It's a great Gay Days. If you want to give your followers the story of their lives, that would also be great to just capture pieces on the timeline.
Oh my gosh. It's so weird that I'm so straight and I'm so cis. Yeah. And I'm so.
I don't know.
Like I say, let's go to Gay Days. And I'm just like,
you're
like,
a musical theater queen. Like,
That's true.
Quite an extraordinary ally just by that.
I appreciate that. But like there's part of me that like my values are like a Midwestern mom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you
like,
have
been
used...
with the same guy for like 13 years. yeah. I have a fucking baby. I'm just like so... so like basic.
No, you're not. I swear. You can't be basic. You can't. If you're basic, you're ultra basic, which is like a whole thing we have to decode.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's get into this episode.
I love that. Okay. What do we have to say? Utica is like finally her story as like standing up for herself is coming into fruition. She's not going to be too nice. She's going to get the part she wants. Denali's mad at being called forgettable. The pork chop curse is over. And I just need to say, I love Candy's tits. I love Candy's little tits in drag and out of drag. And I love her. I love her body.
I think Candy is actually one of the, and I had a real problem with her fight with Tamisha.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like Candy is one of the like sexiest queens. That I think they've had. She's really fucking sexy. She's really in her body. She knows how to like use her curves. Like this lip sync this week in that Beyonce dress, like she was fucking hot.
It was great. It was really a treat. I love her. And I just, she has a little special place in my heart. Like I know she's like rambunctious and at times a little foolhardy, but like, I am just on her side still.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If Joey J went to VH1 HR.
I was just about to say this. And was like,
I have had some incidents with Candy Muse. They are clearly documented on this television show. Would Joey J have a case? I
should pump the brakes on this narrative of it's borderline stalks. It's a borderline. I don't know if that Candy wants that to be her narrative, but I know it's probably not, but I agree that
I don't have a point of view on this.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a take on it per se, but I think if Candy were, I was recently talking about this because Gregor recently started a new gig and he had to do a bunch of HR. You know, everyone has like a huge HR orientation now. Mm-hmm. It's a gig that you know about. We can't talk about it. We'll talk about it later.
One day.
Okay. But you know, you do this orientation where a lot of it is about like, okay, is this harassment? Like it's giving you almost like trick scenarios. And what Gregor was saying is like, it gets a lot more wiggly and gray when the person is of an equal power dynamic, like when the two people involved are on the same plane. Mm-hmm. And so I just like, I, you know what it is if this were Top Chef,
uh-huh.
And Candy like and Joey was like a woman,
mm-hmm.
and Candy was like, you're my next girlfriend, and they were like making food,
mm-hmm.
that might be a problem.
But like we're in this weird space where it's like I think there's for some reason there's more wiggle on it because like how do I put this in a world with queer underdogs, there's like more wiggle room with sexual expression. But that's not to say that she wouldn't be able to say, I'm ready for this to be done now.
Right? It's just really, it's really, I can't get a read on how Joey felt about it. I mean, obviously, like, look, it's, we all know theater people, theater kids, mm-hmm. like everyone's hitting on everyone all the time. It's that.
Yes, just, it's a little bit of that.
I don't, I'm not meaning to start like a thing. I'm actually interested. I just wanted to flag it.
Yeah, I think we should put a little post-it on it. You know, just a post-it.
It's a little post-it. It's not a red flag. It's just a little post-it.
Just a post-it.
It's a nuanced post-it.
Exactly. And then we'll peel it off if we need to, which we probably will peel it off.
Well, sure, but for now we'll just like leave it stuck to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone to like just let it simmer. We have no room for nuance right now.
Yeah.
But if you can allow it to simmer in the broth of nuance.
Yeah.
In your brain.
That might be nice. That might be nice for everyone just to give
space. Or we can just take out this entire part.
No, I mean, just give space to it. Give space. What I really need to ask you about is the audition moment, because this is so funny. And I literally wrote down, Rachel, please insert personal analogous story here. This fight for the role of Foxy. I know you've seen this or been a part of a fight for a role. Do you have any tales?
Well, usually the fight for the role is in a professional audition scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not watching the other people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a worse audition scenario than this, that you have to do it on the spot in front of everyone. Also, you're on international television.
Mm-hmm.
As if musical theater weren't like binary enough in its judgment of people and especially like their singing technique. Uh-huh. You are about to be judged on the like with some of the most like judgmental.
Yes.
Like binary thinking fans. Sometimes like that would scare the fucking, I probably wouldn't have done it. If I were Denali, I would probably be like, you know what? You can have the role. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. I don't want to. It is a trick. It is being thrown into a lion's den. It's a Colosseum. It's a Roman Colosseum. And you've got to put on your wig and strut in your goddess heels. It's a lot.
I did appreciate Tina voting for Denali just to fuck with Rosé. That was really fucking funny.
It's smart, right? It's like you split the vote either way. Don't give her all the votes. She doesn't need that. She knows she's talented. You don't need to give her all the votes.
Yeah, exactly. The part that I found the most triggering in this episode was when Michelle challenged the queens of who can do the best run.
Yes, that was...
Because my pet peeve, I mean, my pet peeve, one of many pet peeves I have with musical theater is like, especially younger folk, of which I am kind of one, but not as young as these younger folk, inserting runs where they don't need to be and they don't serve the story. And I'm not saying that that's what Olivia Lux was doing necessarily, but like the second you challenge musical theater people to just do extemporaneous runs.
Right.
Oh my God, you're never going to get a fucking, you're never going to get, if there was any story to be had in the song, like it's out the window. And there was this thing in musical theater that's still happening, especially on Broadway, where like people are getting applauded where they like do a long run, or they just hold a note.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, like the revival of Little Shop, when he sings "I'm Your Dentist" and he goes "'cause I," and then he holds "I" forever. "I'm your dentist." Now I never saw it on Broadway, but I assume when that happened every night, it got like a standing ovation. And I'm like, how does that tell the story of a crazy dentist who's beating his girlfriend? It doesn't tell the fucking story at all. That's just someone showing off how well they can sing. And it's just like, I'm pouring myself another glass of red wine.
Pour more wine. I mean, listen, I'm with you. Spill the wine and spill the tea, because I think you're right. It's crazy to tell a group of already overexcited homos, if you do runs, I'll give you candy. You know what I mean? She's like, so it's like, Like, what? I don't want to hear. And you don't want to, you know, the person engineering doesn't want to do that. They don't want to mix 18 runs. It's crazy. No. I mean, rosés were good. Rosés were good. But like, you know, that's not going to help, especially girls who are just like, how can I sound decent? You know, how?
Which I got to say, I feel like everyone was tuned. I do feel like the production on Simone was pulled back on purpose.
Ooh, I buy that. I buy that 100%.
Like, I understand you don't want to do full auto-tune on Simone because that would take away from the fact that Simone can't sing. But like, if you listen to the quality of the vocals, and I haven't re-listened to it, and I'm certainly not a music producer, I just feel like on purpose,
I agree.
Didn't, like, I don't know, render the vocals?
I mean, yeah, that, and you can tell that just, like, the way they filmed her, or the edits and the angles they chose were to make her look worse. Like, there's really weird close-ups on her that they don't give to other queens. There's, like, a lot of holding on a shot. And there's the obvious, of course, pan to someone frowning, you know, that it's, like, it was so clearly edited to make her look worse, where if you look at the camera work on other queens, completely different. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They were tickled that Simone had a bad night.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone was fucking psyched.
It'll probably help her, like, in the long run. I mean, she can't just win everything. It's honestly probably for the best that she had a low moment and still killed it, like in the lip sync and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely also made it more interesting. Something that I really like about UK is I don't really feel like there's a clear front runner.
Totally. I have no clue who's going to win.
I truly don't know. I mean, I can tell you who I think should win. Like, I think Bimini so far has shown
quite range.
The most range. With, honestly, like, Ahura's also fucking up there.
Ahura's up there. I do want Lawrence to go to there. I don't know. I would like to see her win still. I know she had an off week, but I still really
Lawrence
adore her.
No, Lawrence is great and funny. I mean, Rue's infatuation with Lawrence is, right. You know, I get where Ellie Diamond was coming from. And again, apologies if you're listening to this and you don't watch UK, but like when Ellie Diamond was like, hey, you say Lawrence's name all funny, but I'm also Scottish. Like, I completely fucking get it. I probably would have found like a funny way to say it. Like, but I probably would have done it like awkwardly. I probably would have been worse, actually. I probably would have been like, you know, I'm also Scottish. So you could say my name all funny. What's a funny way you could say my name? What if I said your name like this, RuPaul? What if I called you that? What would you call me? Like, if I called you RuPaul, like, what would you call me? Like, what's an inside joke that you and I could have, RuPaul? Like, what could we have together?
I would love to see that edit of you doing that. And then they just cut to a long, quiet shot of Rue just going, bing, bing. Like, just batting her eyes, not sure of what to say. And she's like, yeah.
And then it's like, anyway, thanks for your advice. I'm going to do Amy Winehouse. Okay. Thank you.
Which is always an easy, easy pick for Snatch Game. Miss Winehouse. Okay, how do you feel about Tina giving the first Broadway performance ever with her? I mean, I thought, well, first, I'll just say, just in laying down the track, I thought she sounded really great and she was going for a fun style, but maybe what do you think?
This, her being on the bottom made no fucking sense to me.
No.
Tina, foolish. I think, knocked out of the park. Tina has an Ethel Merman style vibrato, which is perfect for the challenge.
Perfect for her role.
For the record, when she stopped lip syncing, I assumed it was a comedic choice. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, I'm not even going to finish lip syncing. I'm just going to die. I didn't like laugh out loud, but I was like, oh, that's, she's making like a choice. Okay. That's cute. Which is
it
a
gave
demeaning
me term. Totally. It gave me no pause. I wasn't like, oh, mistake. I was like, okay, I'm watching. Okay, good. She's dying.
Yeah. Like, that's a choice she's making. Like, I'm not even going to finish the run. I'm just going to start dying. It just seems like they were grasping to find people on the bottom. I mean, honestly, the only bottom in this was Simone. I thought everyone else did a great job.
Totally. I agree. And it's like, even the people who are safe, I was like, oh, I thought there were touches of good in them and touches of whatever. I mean, we'll never know because they won't let us just watch the challenge. They always have to pan to the judges feeling the feelings they feel instead of just letting us see what happened.
I mean, you know, but I find, I don't know, I can only speak to the one episode I judged. Nicole could obviously speak to this mm-hmm. way better now.
You're saying there's a fairness.
I didn't think, I mean, in the one episode I judged, I did not find any of the editing like off. It didn't seem like anything was, I wasn't like, oh my God, that's a crazy edit. That person didn't mm-hmm. come off that way, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. But again, I have only judged one episode and I was pregnant at the time. So I had all those crazy lady ones. Me.
So your baby was probably thinking things for you more than your, yeah, I mean, totally. It was all baby.
Small baby, yeah.
It was all baby. You weren't present. Great. Well, I guess we'll dig into the challenge a little bit deeper. But first, we got to take a break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it, but now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Bring back my break. Say what that? Bring back my break.
Abba, where it
bring
at?
Back my break. bring back my break.
If you want a break, then you should not go away because the break is coming and here it is.
Rachel. Oh, we're back. What a
queer
treat.
Queer ally.
Queer ally and ultra basic goddess. if you're basic, you're elevating the form of basicosity.
And they call me mother. Rustata, rustata, ra-ba-ba, giggity, giggity, ha. I should just do a night at Largo where I cover all of like the like the drag, the top drag queen songs on Spotify, and I just do it like
yes.
In
that. Only if you say, and you say every drag queen's name wrong. You're like, all right, Shea Kulea coming to the stage. But don't forget.
Next, we have Alaska Lightning Heart.
With Tricky Matem. Wow. Oh my God.
I really like this character.
Yeah, I think she's good. Another thing we have to cover in the workroom before we get to our main stage is I do love sitting alone in the VIP. That is fun. And seeing the picture of Aja, you know, that whole moment was really funny.
Wait, can you explain it? Because I only know the Alaska song, Sitting Alone in the VIP.
Right.
Is that based on the meme?
Yes. Yes, I do believe so. So, yeah, that is based upon this because Candy was in a VIP section alone. She tweeted about it. I do love that she makes fun of herself being like, and I thought I was really somebody. And then the picture really, I think, set off the cultural moment of everyone taking a picture and look like in something opulent, but looking bored with your hands on your lap.
How did I fucking miss this? What year was this? What year did this meme happen?
Probably 2017.
Oh, that makes sense. 18? Okay, I was busy. Yeah, anything that happened while I was doing Crazy X, I didn't flag.
Truly. Which, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to knock you for that. I mean, you had to.
Oh, there will be someone.
There's always someone on the internet. Tina dated Graham Norton.
One star review.
I was really mad that Rachel had her show on the CW, and that's not VH1. So one star. Tina dated Graham Norton. This is funny that they added this.
Yes.
She apparently also dated Tia Coffey. Graham Norton also dated Tia Coffey. Fun.
Okay,
intel.
Wait. So, right. I heard this. I got to go back and watch every episode that Graham Norton's judged this season.
Right.
How he's addressed Tia. Right. Because
you
want
to talk about an HR situation.
Oh. But they're not dating anymore.
So post it. Post it.
I would say, you know what? Post it.
That's the answer. And horny for cartoons. We're all horny for Disney cartoons. Let's not pretend like that wasn't a thing.
Oh, I just tweeted this at Denali. I had a very active fantasy life as a child. I had a lot of imaginary friends. I was an only child.
I want to be where the normal people are, available wherever you get books. Read more about that.
Wherever you get books. Or maybe in a random trash can. Who knows? Check your local trash cans. Lucky. Maybe you'll get lucky and someone was angry. When I was a kid, this is not in the book. I had a very vivid, imaginary romantic relationship with the character Bonkers D. Bobcat from the
Shut
Disney afternoon show Bonkers. Oh, yeah. And
Shut
like,
the fuck
I
up.
Would. Yeah, yeah. I'd be like in bed at night and I had a big stuffed crayon and I'd like hump it, pretending that I was like fucking him.
Is this not in the book?
I don't know. It's actually really fucked up. And then like I had, okay, wait, this is actually really, okay. So I had a doll called
Bonkers.
My Twin. Yeah, it's really weird, man. I really like funny guys, I guess. I had a doll called a My Twin doll, which is a doll that's modeled after you that my parents and I drove like an hour and a half to Thousand Oaks to go get when I was like seven. Anyway, okay. I had this My Twin doll. I one day like, pretend like I would have these events. So like there was a day where it was like, okay, today I'm marrying Bonkers. And like, I would just do it in my head in my room. But like, I knew that that wedding was coming. Mm-hmm. And then like a week later, I was like, okay, today I'm giving birth to our baby. And I pretended to give birth to my twin doll and that it was like mine and Bonkers' baby. So yes, I understand where Denali's coming from.
You can't see this, but I'm shaking silently with laughter because this is such a...
It's so fucking weird. And I actually knew how weird it was at the time because like I told my best friend, but I was like, hey, you can't tell anybody. I was like, you can't tell anybody about like the whole Bonkers thing. Like
Rachel,
that's just for you.
I think that's one reason why we're friends is because I'm also the kind of person who's like, I need to say the craziest true story about myself and I don't care who hears.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I got nothing to hide.
I fucking love that. Oh yeah, I can't. I did all kinds of weird shit. So I'm with you. I pretended gay with friends and rubbed my penis on their dry butt cracks. Like, I've been in a lot of strange sexual places, so I'm not going to judge you.
So my friends and I, because this is the thing little girls do, we would like play date and we would like pretend to have sex, but like not really have sex. We would just like rub on each other and we'd be like, ooh, you're the man and I'm the woman. Uh-huh. But like little girl, I think a lot of little girls do that. At least that's what I did
that with a
parties.
Friend girl. Okay. I got in a sleeping bag and we had sex.
It's like always like, we're going to have sex, but like, it's just, you're not even like kissing. You're just like rubbing.
There was like nothing. Literally, I like laid next to her and I was like, wow, we're so bad. We did sex. And I remember I told my parents, I think we felt guilty. So we went downstairs to tell my parents and they were very sweet. They were just like, okay. You did not have sex, but okay, go play a video game. Please go play a video game and let's not talk about this. It was wild. Okay, the main stage. fucking Toons is great. Okay, main stage. Rue comes out with this really fun 80s music video blazer moment and a bag. Is this the first bag that RuPaul has ever worn on the main stage? She's carrying this big clutch. And I was like, what?
Was that an homage to the coach mini challenge or the coach runway challenge?
Maybe. But I was just like, I have never seen her holding a bag in what I believe to be my historical RuPaul brain.
Maybe she was on her period. She needed to have her pads with her.
That too. It's probably that.
Yeah.
Or just incontinence, you know? Just
her depends. Oh.
Just her depends.
Oh, I could go on a whole run right now about how I came to love depends.
You did?
When I was in the hospital giving after I gave birth.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. I mean, that's quite common.
Oh, yeah. They tell you I full on packed Depends in my luggage, but Depends are, I will say I grew a love for Depends and a love for catheters.
You a love?
I loved the moment that I got the catheter in. It's a whole other thing. I had to piss. The whole last couple months of my pregnancy, I had a bad, what's called Braxton Hicks, which is like false labor. But I actually had painful Braxton Hicks and it was exacerbated when I had to pee or after I just peed. So every time I peed, I had a lot of pain. But when you're pregnant, you have to pee all the time. And when I got into the hospital, I was induced because I was trying to avoid COVID. It's a whole thing. And I got induced. They basically dumped in an IV, like a whole saline bag in me, which made me have to piss. I was overcome with like excruciating pain even before like my contractions started. Anyway, I tried to fall asleep on a bedpan, totally didn't work. But finally, when I got the epidural and then they also put the catheter in, I was like, oh my God, this is the first time in months that I don't have to constantly piss and I'm not like dreading having to constantly piss. It was fucking awesome.
Wow. So yeah, you and Tamisha like Iman both love
me.
Love your ostomy lifestyle.
I guess.
Holla at me, you know pee. Holla at me, you know pee. There you go. I've never heard a positive review. So this is okay. This is good to
a
know.
A positive review of a catheter? Oh,
no.
My
but
God.
I haven't been asking.
Great. Oh, it's just great. And then, yeah, Gregor did see them like take away like bags of piss.
Yeah.
Like I filled up a bag of piss, like I would fill up these bags so quickly. I'm like
incredible.
So grateful. He saw like bags of piss. He saw like my bloody show, which is the, it's your mucus plug like coming out of your cervix. Like he saw that. He saw my fucking placenta in a metal dish.
Yeah.
And like, he still fucks me.
Yeah. I mean, that's what love is. That's really what love, I mean, in fact, I think that's like a really good test. Cause if you're like not into that, like, dude, get the fuck out of here. Like, I actually love that side of getting to be intimate with someone. Just like all the disgusting, nasty shit is like my favorite part. I love just opening the door when my boyfriend's peeing or pooing, just being like, hi.
You've shared some really beautiful moments with Gene where I feel like you just tweeted something where it was like, there's no sex tonight happening.
Oh, like, yes.
You missed the sex window or something.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Where he was just like, sex is not happening. Good night. Which, you know, that's the basis of good communication of a real relationship. And here's the kicker. We did have sex that night.
Oh my God.
You know, so, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's just the little surprises in life. Just the little treats. Okay, Rusical. I want to know what you think about, what are any big ideas that you need to share? Obviously, you know, as Ru calls it, music theater. You know music theater. What did you think about this challenge as a whole?
I thought everyone did a really good job. I think the Rusicals are always like, you know, of varying degrees of quality in the writing. I'm always like, anything comedy music, I'm like looking at the writing. The performances are always, I thought everyone did really well. Like, again, except for like Simone, obviously just like, this wasn't her thing.
Totally.
I thought that some of the things were more cleverly written than others. I really admired, you know, the whole thing was a bit on the nose, but some of the lyrics were really fun. And I think that like, Modern Major General Twitter verse was really well written.
Fun.
And like, fun. Utica killed it.
Utica killed it. She looked great. I enjoyed that.
I didn't really understand. Rosé obviously killed it. I didn't really understand Rosé's character because everyone else was like, either a social network or, but wait, also they were a social network, but like, it was like Toctic. Can they not legally say TikTok, but they can say Toctic and not get sued?
I guess that's what they're saying. Yes, they seem to ignore. Yes, they can say Instaglam. They can say resume, which whatever. I mean, and they can say look, face look. Yes, Foxy's character is insane because she's the roommate of our fake Mark Zuckerberg, but she's also what? Yeah, that
she also
part
wants
was
to
confusing.
Like show her pussy. So like, but there's no one. That's not like, that didn't happen in the movie Social Network. Like he didn't have a stanky ass roommate who was like, finally a way for me to get dick, which is a great improvement to the Social Network. Actually, that would have been really funny. And she wasn't like a specific Instagram model.
She should have been OnlyFans or something, right?
Oh, that's a good point. She,
you know what I mean?
Could have been, or she just could have been like, I think she was supposed to be an avatar for like just the user.
Uh-huh.
So like what they could have done was just you play the user who's kind of surrounded by all these networks.
Got it.
And finally you're overwhelmed and you bust out with a Don't Rain on My Parade. That's my writing punch up.
That's a good punch up. And it makes so much more sense than as opposed to like both being the roommate of the Facebook guy and then also being around the apps. It was a little confusing. But she was fantastic. Very good choreo. Great face, great lip sync. Russian bots, I did think Gottmik stood out a little bit more than Denali. I was really enjoying her characterization.
Oh, interesting. I thought they were both fantastic. I also think they benefited from, this was one of the best songs. This was one of the most fun moments. Mm-hmm. It had just come, there was kind of a natural kind of like lull in the musical. And then they came with this high energy, almost 11 o'clock number, if you will. So the fact that like they stood out, that part was made to stand out.
Totally. Totally. And that's just always going to happen. And especially these challenges, but especially like in a musical, but like these challenges, there's always setups. And this is a setup. This is the Mariah Carey from All Stars 3 moment where everyone's like, yeah, but you're Mariah Carey. You know, it's like, it's just going to be the most fun part.
Yeah, like it would have been, I mean, Gottmik and Denali were fucking amazing. My counter is that like, it would have been really hard to fuck this up.
Yeah.
You're playing like a silly Russian bot. You're doing a silly Russian accent. Like the song is fucking upbeat. It is harder to be someone like Tina who has a kind of, at times thankless narrator role until the very end when you realize that she's Friendster, which was really funny. And I really loved that twist.
Yeah, I did too. But yeah, you're right. Like she's facilitating the whole thing. And there's, and it's like, you're kind of like, they kind of talk about like you almost get a little bit of a knock because you're in front of them so much. You're in front of the judges so much that they get to look at you missing a lip sync for a moment and then be like, that's it. She's in the bottom. That's it.
I really felt for her. I
did too.
And I also loved her look tonight. Yes. I think that Tina with black hair is my favorite Tina.
I really enjoyed it. I was so damn ready. Can we also talk about the message? What is the message of this musical? Because it's a little strange, right? It's like, social media is okay now if you call out the lies.
What are the ending lyrics? Let's see if we can find social media musical lyrics. Let's do some like
this is
classic
good.
BFA lyric analysis. Here we go. Social media, the musical.
Oh, you genius.
Ladies and gentlemen, trollers and scrollers. Tonight is all about you and the living hell you've created. That's funny. I know what you're thinking. Has she always been this bitter? Does Dolly Parton sleep on her back? Oops, I just got canceled. That's funny.
That's funny.
I mean, I don't know why you'd get
No, wait,
canceled.
There's something after
We're
that.
We're saying Dolly Parton has big tits.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
That's, oh, you did it now. I'm calling HR, Rachel. That's fucking, that is too much.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, and then after that, because there's this weird thing where they're like, they're waving the flag around. What's the lyrics there? Does it say it or no?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's do you hear the people sing?
Yes.
Stop, you fools. It wasn't always like, okay. Do you see the people's posts posting accurate things once again? These are the postings of a people who won't be duped again. It's your responsibility to weed out the lies, lies, Liza Minnelli lies. Sorry, I'm just reading the lyrics verbatim.
You sound beautiful.
Thank you so much. It ends positively.
Yeah.
So here's the message.
Uh-huh.
The message is like, let's go back to the basics. Let's all be Friendster.
Uh-huh.
But then she dies. Oh, so her dying wish is like, be like 2006.
Be like 2006. Okay.
So the world could come together, but I know we can do better. So it looks like, actually, if you're analyzing this musical, inspired by the musical itself,
uh-huh,
the world comes to its senses.
Wow. Wow. And is that so hard? I think this episode deserves a Nobel.
Because the thing is, it says it's your responsibility to weed out the lies. But before that, it's do you see the people's posts posting accurate things once again? These are the postings of a people who won't be duped again. It's hope for humanity. Is it the near future or is it an alternate universe in which this is happening? Or is this putting out in the universe? I said universe twice. But that was on purpose. Fourscore.
Oh no, she's lip syncing. She's lip syncing for her life. No, you're not in the bottom. No, I hear you. I was just a little confused. I was like, I think you're right. It's actually quite positive. But upon first viewing, I was like, it just felt like a weird thing of like, go to social media, go now, tweet at us.
You know what? I was in a political parody musical one time. Mm-hmm. Long story. Actually, it's a very short story. I was in a political parody musical one time. This was like right out of college.
Oh my God. When will this story end?
These lyrics are better than like your average. Like I'm looking at these lyrics now on genius.com.
Wow.
I really like the rhyme of we want to ruin USA. It's easy to do in USA. Oh, so naive in USA. This will be Putin's USA. The Putin kind of rhymes with to do. Well, it's like an almost rhyme. Anyway, mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
It works. It works. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad. I'm going to say, I mean, this is like Bloom certified, which is like, it's like, pretty big. It's a pretty big wreck.
Also, the deep lyric of "I'm surprised they went here," spreading conspiracies daily, like Democrats hate Israelis.
That was a big lyric.
Whoa!
We're gonna
get into like the. Okay, let's talk about Israeli politics and I'll barely fucking touch that shit.
Same. I don't want to touch it. That's so crazy. That's a big swing. That was such a big swing in a rusical. I was like, I just fell back out of my sofa and I was like, what a choice.
I bet a Jewish person wrote these lyrics because like that's just on the, I don't know. I feel like it takes like a left-wing Jewish person like myself to like, that's always on your mind.
Right. To also like feel fun, like poking fun at it. Right. Just to be poking like, I'm fun, making light like, of this.
Compulsively bringing it up.
Yeah, totally.
Are we ready? Really interesting. Okay.
Okay. I mean, now we got to talk about these looks. We got to chirp and burp the looks. Heavy is the weight upon our shoulders since we're the only drag podcast in the internet. And we have to chirp and burp the looks in the way that no one else is doing. And we think it would be really fun to bring back a little segment from a little hero called Dan Greger. And the segment's called Straight Talk from a Straight Guy. Dan!
Yo, it's me, the straight guy.
Well, we're going to chirp and burp, and you are too.
I think like you and I have to chirp and burp, and then what was the straight version of chirp and burp?
It was not buying it. And
it's pretty fucking cool.
Pretty fucking cool.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Okay, are y'all ready?
So ready. He's rock hard.
Rock hot. So first we have Miss Tina Burner giving us this taxi moment. It's very old school. It's a very Roger Rabbit taxi. Black hair, headlights. What do you think?
I mean, just also, I'm going to say in context of having seen the whole thing, the next taxi cab one I thought was much better. This one's okay. But then I saw the next one. I was like, no, Tina Burner's trash again.
Wow. I liked this one.
I am also a chirp for this. I liked this one better than Elliot's taxi cab. I think that just Greger has something against Tina Burner.
Maybe. I just think Tina Burner is, I don't know. Tina Burner feels like a greeter at Universal Studios.
Whoa.
You little bitch. You straight little bitch.
That's so mean.
I did like this. And I think it was probably also like in contrast to like her other looks, which have been so, so red.
That's you're right. It's only half of the red and yellow combo. So it's subtle comparatively.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the queens, like the way this is basketball? Like just in the same like kind of tone of voice you'd use, like if this is your fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, great, great, great. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go. Manu and I'll go first, and then you'll be the nice. Refreshing.
So we have Olivia Lux giving us old Hollywood ostrich puff fantasy. What do you think, Rach?
I'm a mild chirp. I thought it was gorgeous. I think just like in comparison to some of the more conceptual things, but it's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. I love it. I have to chirp it, even if it's not totally innovative.
I mean, I think she's sort of the Lou Williams of the LA Clippers, a really functional sixth man, but not a starter. like deserves to be on the team, but is
totally.
Not.
I mean,
but that's this is not your Kawhi.
I know what you mean.
This segment is for no one.
Simone, what are you? Okay, Simone giving, I don't even know how to describe this look, but there's like eight different yellows. They all work together. She's very.
Sort of Fifth Element, right?
Right? I am getting a little Lilu. Yeah, a little multipass chicken.
Multipass.
I love it. I love the, I just think it's great. I don't even, yeah, I think it's a chirp. What do you think?
I'm a jealous chirp because anyone who isn't rail thin could not pull this off. This is, this is, you know, it's barely clothing. The coat is obviously clothing and it's so fucking high fashion. It's so good. I'm just, I'm jealous of Simone's body.
Yes.
So I'm a chirp. I'm a jealous. I'm like a, I'm an old, it's an old lady chirp. I'm an old bird. I'm like, chirp.
Yeah.
Gregor. This is a fuck yeah for me. Like I said, I mean, is there anything cooler than Fifth Element fashion? And this is all the way for me.
Great.
Truly. Yeah. I love it. Very, very that moment, you know? Utica giving us some sort of Victorian plaid. Interesting thing. What do we think?
I'm a chirp. I definitely think it had some of the kind of like the multi-pattern look that the sleeping bag look had for whatever reason. But they're completely different looks. So I'm definitely a chirp. I think this is so beautiful and unique, and Utica like remains like a true expert in like not only fashion but like the history of fashion.
I fully agree. Love these weird buns, weird cloths on the buns. This is an interesting, weird silhouette I haven't seen. And I think these patterns go together in an exciting way. So it's a chirp.
This is more a note on Drag Race this week. This category is too broad. Yellow is not enough of a category. And so there's not really a competition that like makes linear sense between any of these people. So like this is, I can't even tell if I like this or not, because it's so disparate from the other ones.
Interesting.
So I'm not going to vote on this one.
Wow.
I'm abstaining.
Like a lot of other white men in this country, he is just not going to vote.
Not going to vote.
Just remove.
Doesn't affect him.
Wow. The gall, the nerve, the audacity, the et cetera. Okay. How about Candy giving us a lemonade homage?
Oh, chirp. I think she looks gorgeous. Although it's chirp with a slight reservation in that like that just is the dress from Lemonade. Like
there's no
twist on it. So like you just said to someone like, name me the dress from Lemonade. You know, so
that's true.
I like, but it looks amazing on her and she's pulling it off. I just, as far as like fashion design, I'm like, well, it's a dress from Lemonade. It's great.
Yeah, I have to chirp it, but that is a really just honestly fair, good point of like it, when it's not even like a celebrity themed or homage themed runway that we're just giving something that's been served. But it's a good garment, though. At least she didn't try to do it with a bad garment, because that's even worse when someone tries to do like a Marilyn or a Madonna look and you're like, oh, God, what pink flag are you wearing? That is hideous.
The flowers in her hair are great. It's at least ties to the theme. I think she looks great. This is fuck yeah.
Okay.
Here's my question. You've seen a lot of Candy Muse's personality. Yeah. What basketball player's personality does Candy Muse map to the best?
Candy Muse is like obviously a Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook. Yes.
Just a big mouth. Everyone's angry. Kind of ready for them to leave. They're good. And obviously there's some talent there. There's a lot of talent there. So you can't just dismiss them. But they're never going to have a home in this league because everyone can't get along with them.
I was, wow. Stole it from my list.
Right out of your mouth.
Okay, Elliot with two T's giving us our second Hong Kong taxi. My only critique is that she's done this exact same silhouette before with her first look walking in was this silhouette, which I'm a little.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. So you know what? I really like those shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll pump it back a little. Yeah. Okay. What do you, it's a chirp. It's still a chirp for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a modest fuck yeah for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a content bird. It's like a chirp where it's like, I'm just like a bird having a good day. Like, it's not like an enthusiastic chirp, but it's like, chirp.
It's also, but I mean, it is worth like recognizing two people in this sort of came up with the same pretty average idea to mm-hmm. be like, taxis are yellow. It's a little first thought. It's a little, you know, mm-hmm. especially when they saw that the other person had done a taxi thing, one of them needed to bail. Frankly, they both should have bailed because they both should have been like, This is like a pretty bland idea, obviously.
But you can't really like bail, right? Because like these are all like pre-made.
Yeah, well, that's not my problem.
What would you have done?
I would have cut like a cool lightning bolt in the back and said, "I'm a lightning bolt driver."
God.
What would you have done for this challenge? So your challenge is gorgeous.
Yeah, yellow. I mean, again, maybe like. Maybe I would do like B-Girl from Blind Melon, something like that.
Oh, that little B-Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just try it out.
But I got to check that out.
I mean, in homage to Rach.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I would love to see what the drag sexy version of B-Girl is.
I'm going to say, to go back to, by the way, to our previous conversation, I would have been a sexy catheter piss bag.
I was going to say the same thing.
I was telling you about how much I love the catheter.
That's very funny.
I would have been sexy fucking piss bag, and I would have been like overflowing with piss.
It would have been great to be like in one of those bubbles, one of those like movement bubbles, and it's filled with piss.
Oh, my fucking God,
that would have
been so smart. I would have won.
Mana, what was your pitch?
That was really it. I wanted to be in a bubble with piss, but if I have to come up with something else, I would just be a whole lemonade stand. I would be
the craziest
little girl with like the lemonade stand stapled to my body and just begging people to buy my shitty lemonade.
Mana, that's fucking brilliant.
Hey, thanks. Okay.
I genuinely had the thought while watching this that I was expecting someone to come out in some sort of golden shower outfit.
Right.
I think some more gold would have been appropriate in various parts of these outfits.
Well, is gold a color in itself or is it just gay yellow?
Great question. I don't know.
I fucking love that. Wow, that really broke my brain because then gold needs to lobby to be inside the rainbow. Mm. We need gold in the rainbow.
Oh, fuck. I guess gold is more orangey yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of orangey yellow.
Oh, good transition. This is Rosé giving us the mask. I liked this. I did. I was like, wow, who would have thought a mask reference from a 2021, from a gay man in 2021, but it's great.
This is a notch more mainstream than my B-Girl reference.
Truly. I like it. I'll chirp it.
I'm a chirp. And also, when she walked into the workroom, she said, "I am like the daughter of Robin Williams and Jim Carrey. And this is the first time that promise has paid off." So I would give her that, too.
I love this. This is, I mean, look, I'll tell you this. If the whole challenge was give me your Ace Ventura drag, I would be in fucking heaven. I can't imagine a contest I'd be more interested in. I want to see Jim Carrey drag every one of his characters in some sort of drag version. And I think that'd be great.
It's interesting for them to do an episode that's like the episode called Show This to Your Husbands, where it's meant to appeal to the straight guys. And it's like it's Jim Carrey drag. The mini challenge is like, do your best, like, improvised Adam Sandler song. I do drag. I'll be talking my balls. I'll be talking my balls.
It'd be great. Expand the market a little.
That's actually pretty fun. That would be really fun.
Anyway, this one's obviously my favorite.
Next, we have Denali giving us Python-esque. I liked this, but I wanted a little bit more.
Yeah, where's the fucking giant snake around her neck?
Agree.
She is the snake, I think.
I got so excited from the head up and then the rest of the outfit. I need more snakes.
Wait, that's a really good point. Could she have, because you're allowed to bring, I think, 5 bags. could one of her bags just been a snake?
Yes. And then work the snake into a bunch of different outfits, and obviously.
Yes.
Because you're wasting. But like, she's like, I fully used. But if she was like, one of my bags was a fucking snake tank. I've been feeding the snake mice for the past couple weeks to pay off for this runway. It was all worth it. I brought a fucking snake.
I let the snake out at night to intimidate my competition.
The snake got COVID because it's really bad at quarantining. So
I can't get it to wear a mask.
It's anti-mask.
Oh, the snake went to a MAGA rally. Let's not talk about it. Could you do that? Can you bring an animal to RuPaul's Drag Race?
I Weren't bet
there birds
not.
In water? Or no, there were butterflies in a finale, wasn't there? And all the butterflies were dead?
Yeah.
In the arms of the angel.
That was a really sad one. But if someone was like, yeah, I fully just packed a fucking snake, yeah, then you'd have to use it in like, you'd have to come up in the reading challenge. You would just wear that snake and have... And make it look like the snake was insulting people.
Yeah. Or making this boa an actual boa for other looks would
be... fucking smart. Oh, and then you could like bling out the snake.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Also, there's your makeover challenge. You have to make over the snake. Yes. Everyone has to make over their mom, but it's like, and you have to drag up your Great. Fucking snake.
I got the ugly snake.
My snake murdered Judy Garland.
Ah! My snake murdered Judy Garland.
Gregor, I showed you that clip of the guy who there was a makeover challenge on a previous season, and a queen had to make over, I think he was a vet, a veteran, and he basically admitted that he knew Judy Garland, and he suggested the sleeping pills to her that killed her. So he's like, I think I murdered Judy Garland.
It was madness.
He told me about this. Yeah. Yes.
It was great.
Great line.
Andrew said, no, you didn't. So I guess it's a chirp. I guess I would chirp Denali's, I have to say. Chirp.
Yeah.
I'm a tired bird.
Okay.
Sleepy bird. Okay.
Again, I'm going to tell you, this is a failing of the category. There's not a clear rubric to have done it well or poorly.
Who's someone in basketball who was very talented, but maybe like their circumstances made them shine not as much?
Bradley Beal.
Yes.
You know,
Mana, you
know what I'm talking about. Poor Bradley.
Which is what the, of course, what if Beal Street could talk is
That's
about.
That's obviously what it was about. Was, you know, poor Bradley Beal never got the chance
to
show how good he was in Washington.
Astros. Okay. Gottmik is our final drag queen giving us crash test dummy. I love it.
I'm a chirp with an asterisk because I think this is fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. Because it's conceptual, it's fashion, but Gottmik had a very similar silhouette and similar outfit, including a headpiece a week or two ago with the anal bead latex look. This really reminds me of that.
But Gottmik's done a latex in a bunch of outfits, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah. Other
outfits has...
There was that half outfit that wasn't half of it latex.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe she just likes working with latex.
Listen, Gottmik has the body for latex.
Truly. I do love the tubes.
What do you think that hair is?
I guess it's like sort of weird hose tubes, but I don't.
It looks almost like film. Like,
yeah,
it's like a little translucent. Anyway, big fan. This is the best one.
This is your favorite.
This one and the mask. I mean, I feel bad because at least they just seem really ambitious and creative and specific, but. You know, I have also picked clearly the two like costumiest ones.
Mm-hmm.
But not Tina Burner. It's interesting that you've picked the costumiest ones, yet you constantly bristle at Tina Burner being too costumey.
I think Tina Burner's taste is really mediocre.
Oh my God.
Just a real generic taste.
I love my.
Oh,
God,
this is gonna be really awkward if we inevitably meet Tina Burner and Tina Burner listens to this show.
I bet she doesn't.
Very few people have like vendettas against you, Gregor.
I would love if Tina Burner was my enemy.
I think Tina Burner is like the one, and a little bit Candy Muse, but mostly Tina Burner. Like, you're a very likable guy, but I think Tina Burner now is your enemy.
Maybe I'm okay with that, but also Tina Burner, if you're listening to this, go look up my photos and just fucking tear me apart. Just fucking rip me a new one. There's a lot to critique. I'm not beyond reproach.
And I mean, I can't think of a better ending to that. Was Straight Talk with a Straight Guy. Gregor, thank you for letting us view the world through your gaze.
My non-gaze.
You're non-gays. Do you want to see this lip sync, or I don't want to ruin it for you?
No. Gregor saw the lip sync and he saw the exit, and he will have some thoughts. Actually, I think
you want me to continue then talking.
Please,
or I'm happy to.
You are. I would love to have you. If you want.
Gregor, you had a lot of strong thoughts on this, so I actually think you should hang
out.
This is my.
I mean, I don't need a. I don't want to. I can hang out. I want some wine, though.
Yeah, here's some wine.
Can you pardon some more wine?
Yeah.
Great. I mean, so let's just we're close to wrapping up. You've given me so much of your time, but. All we got to say is obviously we have our tops, our bottoms. Rue says music theater. That did blow my brain up. I don't know if Denali was in the top for me, whatever. But Rosé wins, and the bottom two, Simone and Candy. And
can I say the Rosé winning was very, I think, please, cathartic for also the Jan fans out there. Mm-hmm. It felt like this was, you know, oh, this was for redemption. This was for Rosé, but also this was for Jen.
Right. Her sister won. That's a pretty big deal.
It's a whole thing. I'm looking at Gregor and explaining.
Explain it in basketball terms.
Okay. So you know when sometimes when someone has the ball and and then they're dribbling it, and then someone takes the ball and they're like, what? No, that was mine. And they pass it to their friend, and their friend goes like, ha ha. And then they throw it and they score.
I lost the train.
So Jan was that.
Okay, great. Okay. I guess I understand the emotional context of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Totally. So it's also very Game of Thronesian, but I don't have the specifics for that, but it's like, you know, like someone killed your sister and then like their brother was like in the next season was like, haha, guess what? I'm killing you. You know, it's a little bit that.
Well, now I'm going to be up all night trying to think of a Game of Thrones parallel for Jan not winning last year's musical.
Are they literal sisters or drag sisters?
Drag sisters. Okay.
They're in like a drag girl group together.
So they're friends.
Yeah, that's the straightest question you've asked so far. So you get to keep your straight card. Good job.
Okay,
good
job. Great. Thank you.
I guess we'll just talk about this little lip sync. I thought it was very fun. I'm letting y'all watch it. Y'all can see it.
Yeah, but Candy won this for me. I mean, Simone is an impeccable lip syncer, but like Candy was putting her. Maybe this is me just
no,
like
I love this.
Like Simone was on point and very specific, but Candy's just like putting
it. For me, Simone won this for me.
What about Simone's was better for you?
I was blown away by how much she did, how focused she was with how little and how like statuesque her choices were. But like, I thought they both did great, but I was like, oh, Simone maybe just edged it out slightly for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, but tell me.
Like,
tell
look
me
at
what.
Candy fucking kick and like, yeah. She's clapping like she's, oh.
Her outfit is better for it. It's working better. And I don't know. I thought Candy, and I'm not a Candy fan, but I thought Candy won this.
Really? Well, this is probably why it was an excellent double save. Because like, I really did love them both. And I did not want either of them to leave. I'm enjoying everything they do in the contest. But I just was like, I was impressed with how Simone was making small, specific choices. I was like, that's really exciting.
Candy was, I mean, I look, Simone's great, but I just thought Candy was selling the shit out of this. And and this is again where, I just thought they're so invested in Candy being featured that to me, that's what this whole ending was them like as producers milking as much storyline out of Candy as possible.
Totally. Okay. This little scurry behind, I also loved.
That was pretty fucking cool.
Simone's scurry behind really got me.
I mean, Simone's amazing. Maybe I'm also feeling that like, I don't have Simone's specificity and poise. So I would be more of a Candy to this song. I would just be fucking the floor. I would be kicking. I would be sweating. Like, I don't have the vibe of like, I'm confident enough in myself to just like be poised and like pick a few moves and like just watch my mouth. Like, I'm always just like,
describing how I do comedy.
Yeah. I mean, Gregor, you're not known for your
subtle, small character observations.
We don't want small when it comes to that. We want to see Gregor play. I love when you play like a weird baby or just like,
that's like,
I love that.
Half your scenes is you're a weird baby.
Come on.
So now we have the funniest, meanest double save in Drag Race history.
Oh, this was really fucked up.
Truly, truly fucking like horrifying. The thing that at the end of it, like, really started, like, getting it under my nerves was, like, you know, fucking RuPaul is, like, a goddamn multimillionaire who's, like, sitting and just fucking with these people's brains.
Yeah.
Just, like, you're done. You're garbage. Go home. Just kidding. I love you.
It's genius. I mean, RuPaul just does not care in the best way. She's just like, my TV show is going to be the gaggiest piece of entertainment at any cost.
And I wonder if is there a little bit that was like, you know what? Candy can take it. Candy's been kind of a bitch to people.
Maybe. Like,
Was there a smidge of comeuppance? Because this is fucked up. Like, at the end when Rue was like, if you can't love yourself, I wanted to be like, it's probably because someone told you to go away. And then at the last minute was like, wait, maybe you're not total fucking garbage.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty fun. I did like when she was like, stop fucking with my emotions. I love that reply.
She said that. That was great. Yeah. It was the one fucking like real thing someone could say in that moment.
It actually made me like Candy a lot more, like seeing her go through this and like the trauma of this.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's so funny how like she's sort of been the villain all season. And then I do wonder if they're trying to like, they're trying to redeem her. They're trying to help her out.
Maybe. I think she's great television. I want to see her do more. I think she can give a little more, but yeah, I love her so much. I love them both. So what a fun time. I'm sad that next week we get a weird documentary instead of an episode.
I'm actually really excited though, because I've been wondering how they pulled this off.
Oh, just the season production.
It's literally a documentary about like Queens, like how they put on the season like during COVID. And it looks like Tamisha maybe had COVID. Because Tamisha said, I survived COVID and cancer.
Oh my God. I didn't even, I haven't seen this teaser. I was just like bored. I was like, okay, here we go. Okay.
That could be wrong. Again, not as riveting perhaps as Tace's potential bad palm reading.
Right. We'll see. I mean, nothing happened on Tucked except like some of the girls want to really, you know, there's some flirtations happening with Olivia and Utica and Rosé and Denali, and we'll see if they will become drag couples in the coming weeks.
Have there been any couples like that have actually come out of Drag Race?
Yeah, the big one was, remember the Vanjie and Brooklyn moment in season 11.
Oh, right.
Their whole smoochy smoochies.
They're obviously not still together. No. That was like a fling.
No. But they were the closest, I would say, overall. But yes, Rach. Before I really, Gregor, I would love, do you, if you have anything to plug, how can we support you and what can we watch you do? And
it's like, how can we support us as a couple? Well, we're gonna be saving money for college for our daughter. So
I had a tweet recently that Rachel retweeted, and it It was about my birthday.
Yeah, a lot of times I give him like that's how I mainly give him support.
He calls it the bloom bump, and wow,
I do.
It's what that's what couple goals.
That's couple goals. Okay, so watch out. Watch for Gregor's retweeted tweets from Rachel's account. anything you want to plug your? I am always about plugging your book, Rach.
I think everyone
should read it. It's so great.
Read my book. Read my book. You can get it. You know, any place books are sold. You know what? And watch, if you haven't watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I worked really hard on that show.
Watch that
show. Every episode's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Again, Mono, you're on it, as you know.
I'm on it. I play a doctor. I play two doctors.
Yep.
No babies?
No babies. No weird babies. I pitched a lot of those characters, but they didn't let me play.
Never happened. Once. Yeah, go watch it. I mean, it's an excellent piece of television, and it's streaming, which is like, come on.
Mono is shirtless.
He's a sexy bartender. We talked about this on the pod. Baby. We talked about this on the pod before that Mono that is a basically like a thirst trap.
Yes.
In that episode, he has a lot of very very sexual tweets aimed at him.
Oh, really?
The bears.
He got a lot of bears.
The otters, the penguins, the scarecrows, all the sub communities are really enjoying me online.
Skellingtons.
Mono, have I asked, what are you? What do you consider yourself?
That's a great question. I'm very Britney Spears in terms of like, I feel like I'm not a cub, not yet a bear. I'm like, I'm trapped somewhere in between. But it'll solidify. I need like a few more years to like, literally become what I was always meant to become, which is a zaddy.
Sure.
But I'm still cooking.
So would you call yourself closer to an aspirational bear or you really just are excited to be a zaddy?
That's so, I don't know. I've always felt like bears are like stronger and I've always felt cubs are cuter or like
That's
teenier.
The definition of bears and cubs.
I think we'll see. I'm still on the hunt for a bed that's like not too hard or not too soft, and we'll see like where I land on that whole thing.
Have you heard of Helix mattresses?
That's Helix mattress, and use offer code y'all, if you're listening, go support us. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us at Drag Her Podcast on Instagram.
And, tell us if you find the invasion of a straight man into this space intolerable, noxious.
Tell us.
Please tweet at me that I don't belong here.
Tina Burner is going to start tweeting at you.
Yeah.
Please, someone notify Tina Burner that like we have beef.
And not everyone burned Gregor down. Just Tina Burner is allowed to attack him.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with someone being the bridge to my destruction. But I only want to be destroyed by Tina Burner.
I want to send Tina Burner all of your like old headshots that you posted on Facebook.
Yes, please. My 2008 top of a roof in New York City, wearing a blazer and a polo sport shirt.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. Bye.
Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.